Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That scream can mean only one thing. Oh, hi, Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you, Mark?
Stevie Sunshine. How are you, my friend?
I am bitching. I am so bitching it hurts. Might need a doctor's notice to be able to walk out in public. People will be so knocked over. I could be totally rad before the day's over.
I would say that I know how you meant that word, that you're bitching, you're cool, you're good, but you're also bitching. I've been listening. You've been bitching quite a bit about the Bears. I've noticed that.
Truth requires that sometimes. So tell me how your week was. What does this week rank among the weeks you've been on the Bears, and what jumped out at you most?
I don't know if I think this week is comparable to the week last week or last year where Alan Williams gets fired, unbeknownst to us, didn't see it coming. And then also, you also had that day, the famous Dan Wiederer tweet where the offensive coordinator gets thrown under the bus because Justin Fields threw him under the bus, saying that coaching could be a problem. And I just remember that day that it wasn't even done there because Mr. Fields would like to speak to you. Mr. Fields would like everybody down in the locker room to tell everybody that you could put it on me. Put it on me. It's all my fault. Put it on me. Mm-hmm. Put it on me. So I would say that this week was comparable to that week last year at Halas Hall. But obviously, I don't think anybody on the beat I know nobody on the beat has ever covered an offensive coordinator firing. But I said this yesterday, Steve, I still felt like the overriding theme of that day and those 2 days were Caleb Williams still. And some of the reports that had come out on him and the report that players, veteran players, may have wanted Bagent to go in there as the QB, it just really showed you how far things have broken down since the beginning of the season. Now, most of that stuff seemed to, I keep wanting to use the word debunked. I don't know if it was completely debunked, but it was definitely blown off by the people that I talked to. Like, that's not real. You know, when bleep hits the fan, you're going to hear weird things. That's the way it goes. So I still think that there is still tremendous support for Caleb Williams in that locker room, but he's struggling. He's struggling in a big way, and that has something to do with why the offensive coordinator was fired. So I think everything goes hand in hand, and that's the guy that I'm circling more than anybody in the midst of Thomas Brown madness.
What did you think of Keenan Allen's comment that I think indicted players, even though he was talking about an offensive coordinator? He was talking about offensive coordinator, too nice a guy, and basically guys are too relaxed, and he's talking about, seemingly, the quotes as they went on, we're talking about players, teammates, who weren't paying attention to all the details. And we saw all of that play out in some of the most embarrassing ways. What did you think of, or what did you read into what Keenan Allen said?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, because Mercedes Lewis had told us that already. Yeah. You know, he told us that after the Colts game, that they wanted to be coached harder. And that was a finger being directly pointed at Shane Waldron. And I think, too, that it had something to do with the way he was or wasn't coaching Caleb Williams. And that the these players have told us time and time and time again. I know people get tired of hearing about it, but they keep talking about the detail and practice, that it has to get better. That lays directly on a coach. That lays directly on a quarterback. So those are things that are real. I guess I wasn't surprised by anything. I mean, like, just getting to know Keenan Allen, typically, if you ask Keenan Allen a question, like a lot of these veteran players, they're going to give you an answer. Mercedes Lewis opened the door, and Keenan Allen ran right through it after he was gone. And the honest answer was that Shane Waldron was not a good communicator. I mean, which is just like, it's just hilarious when it's such a buzzword, communication. We communicate. Well, shut up. Enough. Enough with that. Like, you had a failed communication, and that they talk about. I mean, they use specifics in terms of, Matt Eberflus even said, in-game communication. DJ Moore talked about it, in-game, not being able to adjust play to play. Like, oh, we got to get to halftime before we can make an adjustment. No, it doesn't work that way in the NFL. You have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to communicate well, and none of that happened. Shane Waldron did not think on his feet well. He did not communicate well. Something broke down, so there was a real issue there. Now, Thomas Brown, who knows? I have no idea. I mean, obviously, he interviewed for this job, but the Bears thought he wasn't good enough for the job, so there was something about him, and my guess would be that they thought Shane Waldron would be a better fit since he was the more experienced play caller, more experienced than Thomas Brown. Now, Thomas Brown predictably brings a different personality. It's always a different personality, no matter what coach changes, no matter what sport it is. It is highly predictable that you will hear the media, all of us, and I'm complicit, say, oh, boy, this guy's got a great personality, new energy in the building. They all like him. I mean, we've seen it for a million managers and coaches in this town. It's always the converse personality. And guess what? It better be. I mean, yeah. To me, it's like we shouldn't be celebrating the fact that Thomas Brown is a straight shooter and a great communicator and people like him. Like, that is essential competency. So when I hear all that, I say, okay, good. That's fine. I mean, sounds like he'd be more equipped for to be a defensive coach, quite frankly, with all the rah-rah-ness going on. I don't know how well that works on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you need to be able to communicate, as I was saying, but I don't know about all this rah-rah stuff. And I guess I've been around long enough and seen enough firings of offensive coordinators in this town to be very skeptical of what Thomas Brown may or may not do for the Bears for the rest of the season.
Seeing how fractured this team is, talking with Mark Grody, covers the Bears for The Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. Mark, one of the co-founders of Saturday Suckage.
That's right.
So, seeing, I didn't realize the fracture involved the offensive coordinator not addressing the entire offense in weird ways, that each position group held its meetings, and the passing game coordinator wasn't talking to the passer. I mean, there's just so much of a disconnect. Yeah. Can you connect these dots? I know, not I really normally connect the dots, but can you connect the dots? Can you explain, or is this such an example of the fracture and suddenly they become whole and unified and kumbaya exists?
What dots do you want me to connect? You want me to connect the dots of the lack of communication from Shane Waldron to the rest of the team? What you're saying?
What is Thomas Brown doing differently? What has he changed from the way Shane Waldron did it that will make a difference?
Play calling, I guess. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing for Thomas Brown. I mean, I'm sure he had something, as the passing game coordinator, I'm sure he had something to do with structuring some of the routes and the game plans and giving his input on it, but I don't think that there was a lot of power there. If you're not talking to the quarterback, if that's not part of your job on the offense, then really, what is it that we're doing here? So it's great that they have it. More jobs for more people, more titles for more people on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh,
but this is a whole new ball game now. Like, he wasn't able to impose his will. I'm sure there were things that Tom, and this is the good part. You know, I know I realize how skeptical I sound about Thomas Brown, and maybe that's not fair. But, you know, now he has the opportunity, just like anybody who is under somebody else. If you're an underboss, then you probably respect your boss. You respect the rank and all of that kind of stuff, the authority ahead of you. But while you're there, you're like, man, I would do things differently. I would not be happy. Hopefully, Thomas Brown has been watching, and there are things that he's had in his brain this whole time he's been with the Bears that he is like shaking his head over and thinking, I would do it differently in that case. But it's certainly wait and see for these guys. So I don't know. I don't know if I connected your dots well enough, Steve. The dots are just all over the place. And they just can't be connected at this moment until someday in this world the Bears get offensive coordinator right, which I don't know that they ever have.
Yeah, the dots are as errant as Caleb Williams' passes. How does Thomas Brown make Caleb Williams more accurate?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, how
great.
Does he
next
do it?
Next question.
I mean, yeah, seriously. Seriously, I think Caleb Williams last Sunday after the loss to New England, when he was at the podium and we were all collectively interviewing him, he was asked about, hey, if there is to be change, you know, what would that look like? And Caleb basically said, you're not going to reinvent the wheel. He's right. That's the truth. So that's why I answered it like that. You're not going to get, you might have a few different plays and a few different concepts and things that are, you know, I mean, I think you need more of the slam dunk plays, obviously. You definitely want the tight end, you know, if you have to go with the underneath pass, the easy pass, things like that. I guess like that'd be a way to make things look more efficient, to get more confidence. But even as I'm saying this and rambling on about it, it's still not what I want. Like I look at Shane Waldron and I say, I kind of understand where he was coming from, like in all of this. He treated Caleb Williams, and maybe this was a mistake. He treated Caleb Williams like he was a generational veteran quarterback, that he could go up to the line and change plays, that he could be a leader for this offense, that he could throw the ball downfield, that he didn't need the easy underneath pass. He didn't need the bailout pass. It's what we all want, because that's what we saw at USC, and that's what all Bears fans have wanted for decades, is an offense. Like a lot of people, like I get into these little arguments with people about who's, oh, they got to run the ball. Of course they have to run the ball. I know what running the ball does, but I also know that what running the ball as a feature and running the ball defense and special teams went out with Lovie Smith. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't work anymore. Like you're only going to get so far. And I realize that the Bears did make it to a Super Bowl, but they didn't haven't sniffed another one since. And I know what they want to do, but I'll say it again. They did overestimate what Caleb Williams was capable of doing. I guess shame on them, but I also overestimated what he was capable of doing right from the start. So last thing I'll say here about that is I really don't want to see them take too much off the plate of Caleb Williams. I understand he's struggling, and I understand things have to be done differently, but I don't want them to just treat him like a game manager for the rest of the season. You still have to. I mean, at this point, you're 5-6. Chances are you're not going to make the playoffs this year, just knowing the schedule and knowing what tomorrow even looks like. You still, I mean, the number one focus now has to be developing that quarterback and making that quarterback better and making him perfect when it comes to what they are trying to do and representing a real offense. Because you don't want to go into next year thinking, oh, yeah, we got our quarterback manager and he's going to throw short passes and we're going to run the football and we're going to have good special teams. No, not interested.
Mark Rohde is my guest. He covers the Bears for The Score. You hear him all over this here radio station. He's on every show, every day, every time, every opportunity, and he's wonderful. So a lot of people are talking, and Chicagoans are not any kind of credible talkers when it comes to, like, oh, be optimistic about this offensive coordinator. We're optimistic about anything that looks different from the past. But people who invest money, who bet on these games, have bet the line down by about a full full point. And it's down to, like, from 6.5 to 5.5. Betting the firing, betting the new coordinator. And I guess one of the advantages is that Thomas Brown has only last year's offense in Carolina on tape. I don't know what it would tell the Packers. So he does have the mystery, the surprise going for him. And if he can combine that, it seems to me, with the ability to focus Caleb Williams and each of his weapons on two plays, for instance, that make a difference, that they know they can run, they know they can execute, and know they'll get a profit out of, I think the Bears have a chance, as much as I can't believe I just said that.
Wow, Stevie, sunshine indeed. Now, your theory is plausible, because it does happen, the new coach bump. It does. Well, I'd have to go back and look, but yeah. I think I remember when Bill Lazor was handed play calling, I believe his first game was successful, and I think that a lot. Oh my God! Look what he's actually doing. He's actually having them run the football, and wow, look at the. And then it went downhill fast. So I guess that's what I think about. It almost is predictable. Like, Thomas Brown is going to run a smooth offense this week for Caleb Williams, and things are going to look good, and he's going to do things different. And quite frankly, the offense is going to probably be on their best behavior. Nothing shakes up a locker room. Like, when bodies start to go, leave the building because you're bad, then everybody's sort of human nature says you're going to shape up and maybe pay a little bit more attention, be a little bit sharper on your details, and be a little bit more earnest, a little bit more motivated. But that doesn't last long. That's the problem. So whatever he does this Sunday, I'm not sure. I mean, that's you get that fast bump, but then I'm concerned about the rest of the season. Like, you could script the hell out of this game, right? But, like, as time goes on and you start to get into all of these rugged games on the schedule with Minnesota and Detroit and San Francisco and on and on and on, that's where I get skeptical, because I've seen it too many times where the new guy comes in, looks good for a while, celebrated. I mean, there was a time when we thought Shane Waldron had figured it out with the Bears. Okay, we see you. No, we don't see you in your fight.
Well, if there was only going to be one week where Thomas Brown would have the surprise effect, this would be the week.
Yes, well, yeah.
So the Packers!
Put all your money and your hopes and your dreams into this game tomorrow against the Packers. The rest of the season, I can't help you.
Okay, unless they just keep...
Maybe they should just keep changing the play caller. Maybe Kerry Joseph calls. Let's see what the Kerry Joseph bump looks like. You know,
right.
Just keep on bringing in these guys. Let everybody have a crack. Get Eric Washington. He probably wants to be a head coach someday. I know his defense. Let him call plays. So you just keep on bringing in these guys. Each week you get a bump.
I think that's great. You're going to have the Green Bay game, the game in Lambeau. So you get ready for that one. You're going to be the offensive coordinator there, okay?
I've already got my hotel reserved and my credential. So may as well, Stevie.
And Gene Grody has got you proper winter wear for that.
Yeah, well, nowadays I sit in a press box with the rest of the press, so I don't need my big furry coat on the sideline anymore. But that's a true story. Jean Grody did not trust her middle-aged son to have the proper wear. Well, I could buy myself a coat. Ma, I am going to buy you a coat. It's my gift to you. Okay, Ma. Okay. And she bought me a really nice coat.
Yeah. All right, wear it. Be warm tomorrow. Mark, okay. Thanks for your time.
By the way, it's supposed to be like 60 tomorrow, so this talk is ridiculous.
Okay, all right, enough with that.
With your weather talk.
Yeah. All right, Gene Grody wants you to wear the Speedo she bought you. Right?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Inappropriate, dude. Inappropriate, unnecessary is what I would say to that.
So, okay, all right.
Love you, buddy.
Love you. Moving right
Bye.
Along. Mark Grody. Mark Grody covers the Bears of this score. He's on every show. And it's wonderful. Every show benefits by that. Take a break. When we come back, I got some stuff, including Big Ed's Barbecue and some Tyson Paul stuff. This is Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What happened, Tyler?
I suck. I clicked the wrong thing.
All right. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, staying on brand. Thanksgiving's coming up, and it's not, I got to tell you this, it's not just the Burnett's, the Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan that are the greatest. The brisket, the ribs, and remember, like the t-shirt says, half slabs are for suckers. But there's more than the food to that. It's the heart. Big Ed's has a big heart, and this is how and why and what's going on. On Thursday, November 28th, this is posted on their Instagram. We will be feeding the community a home-cooked Thanksgiving dinner for free. Dinner will be served from 12 to 4. Everyone is welcome, and no one will be turned away. Pre-packaged dinners will consist of turkey, ham, cornbread dressing, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, homemade gravy. Can I tell you, mac and cheese is their mac and cheese, the ultimate comfort food. Their Instagram notice goes on. Meals will be picked up curbside with a limit of 4 dinners per car so that you can pick up meals for those who are unable to come themselves because we might not be able to make deliveries anymore. Anyone looking to volunteer can call the restaurant at 847-473-5333 and sign up with Kim or Katie. Anyone looking to make a financial donation can make their donation in person or mail in a check to the restaurant. This year marks our 9th year of providing this free Thanksgiving dinner, and every year it gets bigger and bigger. Thank you for continuing to help share and spread the word about this event because we want to do our part to make sure everyone has a hot meal on Thanksgiving Day. It's our way to say thank you and give back to the community that has supported us all those years. That's from Big Ed's in Waukegan. And I got to tell you, people line up early. Like there was Cubs wristbands. People show up to line up for the Thanksgiving dinners. I'm going to make this plea. Leave the dinners for the people who need it. People who can't have that kind of meal themselves. People who can't go to Big Ed's. It's sad that some of the well-heeled people who line up, they can certainly provide for themselves. There they are in line for free food. Big Ed's. It's great food. Buy it. Help contribute to people who can't. Don't be that person. Don't be that person who lines up, gets a free meal from Big Ed's when you can afford to do it yourself. If you are that person, I hope you develop an incurable rectal itch. I hope so. Don't be that person. Go help out Big Ed's. Volunteer, give him a check, buy lots of burnt ends. Thank you for coming to my Big Ed's Barbecue TED Talk. Take a break when we come back. Olin Groot's apoplectic. You got to hear it. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I want to thank Mark Potash of the Sun Times for coming on and entertaining my nonsense and entertaining us. Habarkash. NFL insider for The Score, joined me at noon before he was. He even kept Wayne Larrivee waiting for breakfast at Walker Brothers. And Mark Grody, as I made an inappropriate comment, Mark, I apologize. I should not have said that. But dress warm anyways, because at my advanced dotage, everyone's cold. Tyler Farengold, thank you for this wonderful thing. So, if nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. Here now is apoplectic Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes.
Our segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. By the way, Tanny got us a whole bunch of Olin Krutz stickers.
Oh, dude, they're gorgeous.
I put it up on my laptop today.
That is awesome.
So for those of you who are watching on Twitch, you can see the most awesome sticker of Olin Krutz. It is so appropriate for this particular week as the Bears are getting ready to take on the Green Bay Packers. What's up, O?
What's up, guys? Man, I want to thank Tanny. I love those stickers. So been a big hit in my house, too. My daughters, they stuck it on a few things. I said, I don't know if that's appropriate for school, guys, so you got to watch out.
We don't want them to get in trouble. Sure.
We don't. Yeah.
What's your assessment of what's gone on this week? Like, I'm sure that you probably felt like the move with Waldron needed to happen, but what does this do to a team when you have this type of upheaval?
It's a really interesting move, right? And it's kind of like we talked about last week a little bit about how Pete Carroll talked about Shane Waldron down there in Seattle. And then, you know, you wonder, you know, who are – so they're blaming this on Shane Waldron trying to jumpstart their young rookie quarterback, trying to jumpstart their offense. Found a lot of the comments, guys, interesting, coming out of Halas Hodge. I'm sure you guys did, right? The attention to details, the letting things go. You guys have all played sports, right? I start to wonder myself, I wonder what they're really saying, right? I wonder if they know what they're saying and what they're talking about. Because remember now, when the OC is out there, there's a quarterback coach, right? There's the pass game coordinator who's now the OC, right? There's a wide receiver coach, there's a running back coach, there's an O-line coach. Who's responsible for the details at each position, guys? Who's responsible for emphasizing that guys do things the right way? It's not the OC, guys. It's the position coach. Right. So when they say those things, I think to myself, man, I wonder if they know what they're saying. And I understand that it was time to move on for Shane Waldron. I wasn't a big fan of his for a while, as you guys know. Wasn't a big fan of his play calling. Wasn't a big fan of his play calling down there in Seattle. It's early to move on from a coordinator. That's a lot of people said, oh, it's been done. And I know I've heard you guys all week. Nothing's apples to apples. I just don't know if it's ever been done to a rookie quarterback to create that much change, that much chaos in a young quarterback season is very interesting to me, and I'm interested to see which direction this goes in.
That's really interesting to hear you talk about what they might actually be saying and what the dynamic is. Like, so is Shane Waldron, is the offensive coordinator, supposed to be coaching up the coaches, the assistants, and then letting them coach the players? Like, where's the disconnect and how it's supposed to work with the details, Olin? That's interesting.
That's a great question. Where is the disconnect, right? Because I've been a lot of coaching staffs. You guys do in your own building, in every business. There's good cop, bad cop, right? And if I have an OC who's not really into getting the guy's faces, right, because not everybody responds to the same kind of coaching, then I surround him with guys that do get into people's faces. I surround him with the bad cops, right? Oh, that guy's too nice. I've had a lot of nice guys coaching the building who are really good ball coaches, right? So you're telling me this one guy is the reason there is no details on your offense. Right, the OC guys, he's not even in position meetings. He's not even in position meetings, guys. I hate to get frustrated, but the things that come out of Halas Hall, guys, as you guys know, Lawrence has sat and watched a lot of games with me. I get perplexed sometimes when people start talking about things out of Halas Hall, when they start saying things, right? Like we said 3 years ago, this O-line is going to be a problem. Oh, my gosh. Now it's a problem, right? Pete Carroll said last November that we have unique talent, right? We have unique talent on the Seattle Seahawks offense, and I don't think we're using it the right way. Oh, let's bring the guy and build the same unique talents and give him that offense. Look, I'm just confused when I listen to this stuff, guys. Really confused at the fact that, well, it's the details. This guy wasn't being hard enough on us. The OC is not in the meeting room, guys. When the running back makes a mistake, you guys tell me, who corrects him?
It's the running back coach.
Chad Martin.
When the wide receivers make a mistake, who corrects him?
The wide receiver
coach. The wide receiver coach. What the hell are we talking about?
So how much responsibility do the players
the
have?
The pass game was broken. We'll make the pass game coordinator the OC. I'm sorry, Lawrence. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Do your thing. Because,
you're on it.
Look, Spiegs and I also thought it was weird too that the guy is the passing game coordinator, but he's never really talked with Caleb, who's the quarterback, who's ideally the person on the field in charge of your passing game. I think that's a little strange.
Right. Yeah, it's just it's going to be interesting to watch them go forward here. They play a lot of good teams. They play a lot of better teams than they have played. Look, I don't think anybody is cheering more for Thomas Brown than us, right? We're tired of watching that offense there at Soldier Field. We're tired of them not being able to score points in the first half. We're tired of all that stuff. We want the young quarterback to develop. It's good for our business. It's good for their business. It's good for everybody. We want them all going the right direction. We all knew there'd be some regression in Caleb Williams' first year, right? We're all wondering. Everyone's trying to figure out what the hell is going on up there, asking all these questions. Answer it on the football field, right? Like I heard Dan Weider talk about their film. And I always tell you guys, people lie. Film doesn't. Film never lies to me. Lawrence watched a lot of games with me. I could care less what the people at Hallis Hall said. I just watched the film. It tells me everything I need to know, right? Their offense was broken. I'm just confused about players coming out, older players, captains coming out and saying that we weren't emphasizing details enough. I tell you who emphasized details when we were at Hallis Hall. I did. We emphasized details. It doesn't mean we're always good. It doesn't mean we always did the right thing. But I never came out and laid waste to one coach and blamed him for the fact that I wasn't concentrating on my details.
Well, see, there it is. That's incredible stuff from Olin Kreutz. Olin, that's what Lawrence was getting at right there. He started to ask about the player's responsibility. Because Keenan is talking about seeing other players, right? Mercedes Lewis flat out said it. From the youngest to the oldest, we need to be told what to do. So, like, I wonder if these players are calling each other out and being as responsible for each other as you need to be. It sounds like you have your doubts about that.
Well, I have my doubts on do they know how to fix it, right? Do they know when guys come out and say that stuff about Shane Waldron, and like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of his playing calling, questioned him on the way in, right? When I read about him and I studied him and I watched their film down in Seattle and I saw that, oh, look, we built the exact same offense for him here, except our offensive line wasn't as good as Seattle's offensive line. But I figured that, you know, maybe they thought they would all grow together and him and Caleb would develop a relationship like Caleb was talking about earlier on. It's just, you know, since the Washington game, guys, it's been interesting there, right, to watch them talk a lot about their coaching staff, the coach staff not take responsibility, then take responsibility, then someone gets fired, and then they all come out. And again, instead of saying, you know, I got to get better and, you know, me not doing my job, you know, I used to think, man, when guys got fired, I'd feel bad because I felt like I didn't do my job to help this guy keep his job, right? And I know it's the NFL and it's a hard business and all that stuff is true. But at Hallis Hall right now, they're trying to fix their offense. Thomas Brown is up, but the other coaches, everyone surrounding him, they all have to do their job too. Because when I hear things like the details and accountability and all that kind of stuff, I've been on a lot of football fields. Like when I'm at Carmel, when the offensive line makes a mistake, Jason McKee doesn't yell at them guys. I do, right? I'm the offensive line coach. I get them going. I worry about the details. I worry about what they're doing wrong. I worry about the things that they should be doing. And then I go back and when I talk to the OC and the head coach, and then I talk to them about the guys, and they let me know what plays they want to run and what they want done. But the fundamentals, right? The fundamentals. The hands up, the pad on the pad, they bring their knees, they stay over your feet, they get your hands inside, they regroup your hands. That's my responsibility.
I'm going to get the opportunity to watch football again with Olin, which is like going to grad school. He and Patrick Manley, because I'm going to be sitting in for Mully this week on the pregame show that will be live at Wonderverse in Oak Brook, which is a really great place. You should come out. We'll be there from 9 to noon doing the pregame, and then we'll also do the post after the game is done. Wonderverse is awesome. Great Clips is going to be sponsoring the postgame show. It's presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on the Score and the Odyssey app. Oh, one of the things that I picked up from you is you talk about how people can talk about focus and concentration on Sunday, but it doesn't really matter that much if guys weren't focusing and concentrating on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and when they're looking at the film of the next team. What are you hoping happened this week at Halas Hall from that standpoint on trying to get yourself together and then your unit together to make sure that you don't have a disaster against Green Bay?
Yeah, the interesting thing about everything you just said is that can make all the difference in the world, right? And with that change, with that firing, maybe a little fire under everybody, and now you get a little more focus, a little more concentration, and now guys are all moving in the right direction. And Tom, they bought into Thomas Brown, and if they weren't totally bought into Shane Waldron, then that was a big problem, right? That's a big problem to have on your football team. So you're hoping, like you're saying, Lawrence, everyone says details. Well, let's define it, right? Let's define details. Details is that Monday you're already watching your first and second down cut-ups. You know what they like to do. You know what defense they like to run against you. You know how they're going to attack you from whatever personnel you have in auto. If you have three wide receivers, you know what they're lining up in. They got one or two defenses on first, second down, and they got one or two blitzes, and then you're watching the guys you're going against, right? If I'm a center, I'm watching Kenny Clark, right? I'm watching their linebackers. I'm watching how I'm going to attack them. I'm going to go after them, and then I'm applying that in walkthroughs, right? My focus is there in walkthroughs. I'm using the technique I have to use is Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark's really good at his hands. You better get your hands on him quickly, or he will dominate your center. So that's what you're talking about when you define, when everybody keeps saying details, we have to do the details right. Well, then that means you have to do it every day. And like you guys saw with the Bears last week, with the delay of games, the offsides, the penalties, the guys not working to the right guys, the guys not on the same page in the pass game, the receivers different depth than the quarterbacks throwing the ball, the running back not really hitting the right hole, the linemen not getting to where they're supposed to be, not working together the proper way on the proper angles. Those are all the details they need to work on. And that, my friends, start not Monday. That starts Sunday after your game is done. If you got time, pop in the next team.
What do you hope to see in terms of kinds of running plays and personnel and frequency from this offense on Sunday, Olin?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it, and that's usually the cure for a broken offense, right? Is to run the ball downhill, be stubborn with it, keep yourself either ahead of the chains or in kind of a favorable down and distance, right? Second and eight, second and nine. I heard John Gruden talking about, all the old ball coaches hate the quick side-to-side screens. I heard him talk about just getting the ball out fast, getting the ball out quickly, taking what's there. Same thing we were talking about when Shane Waldron was here, right? Over and over again. We were talking about play-action passes. Now, they checked the two play-action passes last week, and Caleb held the ball for 6 seconds and didn't give DJ Moore a shot one-on-one down the field. But Swift is really good. You guys saw that those inside zone runs with the tight end splitting back, Cole Kmet coming back to kick out what they call the emu, the end man on the line of scrimmage. He's got that guy. The lineman double-teaming him up. It'd be great to have Darnell Wright back, a big man, strong, their best lineman. Braxton Jones is back. It'll be good to have him back. They got a tough matchup this week. The Packers are really good at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. It's going to be tough for them. But everything you guys have been talking about, I don't have to say it again. Everybody's been saying it. We all know how to simplify the offense for a quarterback, right? Move the pocket, give them half-field reads. If you ever hear Bowen talk, I know Lawrence has him all the time. He's great at that. Everyone knows what you should give a young quarterback. The Bears are just struggling on getting that stuff executed and communicated on the field, and they're really struggling, man, just taking the layups right now, right? Can't miss your layups, and they're missing them, right? And they're not stubborn enough with the run. Now we got a former running back coach here calling plays. We'll see what happens.
Spees and I have been talking about, like, Caleb's part in all of this and how excited everyone was for Caleb. Is it fair to think that the Bears expected too much and put too much on him? Or if a rookie comes in and is very confident in their skills, you should throw stuff at him? To me, it feels like they threw everything at him instead of saying, hey, man, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to perfect this. And when we perfect this, then we're going to move on to this. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, let's rewind back, right? Let's rewind back when they were struggling earlier in the year, and everybody started talking about giving the players more power, right? We need our first 15, and they came out, and they said they told the coaches what they wanted. They told the coaches what they wanted to do. And then they had three games of success, and everybody was raving about it. Remember that, right? Everybody was raving after the Jaguars game. great. You gave them all. You gave them. You're doing what the players want. You gave them their first 15, and the players came out and announced. We told the coaches what they needed to do, and they did it, and we were doing great. And then after that, people caught up to what they were doing. This is the NFL, man. You're going against the best in the world. Once you put on film what you are, they'll take it away. So, like Caleb, I'm still excited about him. I don't know about you guys, man. Like, he threw that ball last week out of bunch. He whipped it to Keenan Allen. You know, sometimes he does things you're like, man, that is an elite talent the Bears have at quarterback. We've seen a lot of elite talents fail, right? A lot of it has to do with culture and your building you're in. As you guys know, eventually the people in that building, they have to understand how hard it is to win, not only in the NFL, how hard it is to win in Chicago with the microscope that the quarterback is under. And the people at Hallis Hall have to understand that and have to help this young kid groom and grow and get moving in the right direction. And they got to get like they got to get him just playing ball again. Like you guys, everyone's talking about, stop seeing goals, get the ball out of your hands, get it to your playmakers. The playmakers got to start making plays, right? The playmakers got to start getting open. The guys who they gave a lot of money to got to start doing stuff that says they understand what their contract is and what they need to do. So the young quarterback has a long way to go. Surprise, surprise, right? The rookie quarterback has regressed at midway through an NFL season in November. If somebody thought that wasn't going to happen, it wasn't me, right? I've followed the NFL too long to not know that there's going to be regression coming at different points in the season, especially midseason, especially, guys, you can almost set your clock to it, especially after they play good, right? Because what are they doing when they play good? They're doing what they want to do. You know what they do in the NFL? They take that away from you and make you do something else.
Olin Kreutz here with us. All right, man, Bears-Packers. You got a story about Bears-Packers that you've never told that now is perhaps the right time to tell, Olin, or if you'd like to go to one that you have told that is your favorite, you can do that too. It's dealer's choice for Olin Kreutz on a Bears-Packers Friday, sir.
As you guys know, I've been a part of a lot of Bears and Packers games. There's the Walter Payton game that everybody calls is my favorite memory, man. Brian Robinson blocks that kick. We win the game. No business in beating that football team with the football team that we had going up there that day. Obviously, we all think Walter Payton helped us out a little bit and lifted Brian Robinson up and blocked that kick. But, we played in the coldest game in Bears history, overtime against the Packers, won that game. You know, obviously, the NFC Championship game sucks. But the week leading up to it was something, man. It was something to be a part of that history, Packers versus Bears. My first start, guys, ever in the NFL was versus the Green Bay Packers. It was the last game of the year. Started for Dave Wanstead at center. I went against Gilbert Brown, right? I've been against B.J. Rodgey. I've been against every nose guard you can imagine there from 90 to 2000. They had great teams. We had great battles. That game is an extremely important game. You learn to hate them. You learn to respect them also. And you learn to get after them. You know, a part of rivalry, even when I'm not playing, right? Everyone's mad about me saying I'm going to beat up Aaron Rodgers or punch him in the face or whatever it may be. And I get comments on that too. But it's been a lot of fun through the years. Just like to get back on, you know, I think there was a time there in the mid-2000s where we were winning a lot against the Green Bay Packers. You know, obviously we had Brian Urlacher and the guys there on the other side of the ball. That defense was ferocious, and they haunted the Packers for a while there. But I'd like to get back to that, winning more games right now. As you've heard a lot of people saying, we have no argument. It's not really a rivalry right now. We don't like them. They don't like us. I heard them talk a little trash about DJ Moore this week. That pissed me off, even though I'm not even in the locker room. That made me mad, right? I heard them talking about it's not a rivalry. Like, that's why we're talking about we got to get Caleb Williams better. We got to get everybody moving in the right direction. Got the defense to stop the run. It's going to be tough this week. Just looking for more wins against the guys up north.
Hey, Olin, I was on Green Bay radio this morning, and I can tell you that Green Bay fans and Bears fans can bond over one thing these days, enjoying Aaron Rodgers struggling as a Jet. We are all enjoying seeing that old man get caught as he tries to scramble because he's 40 and he can't do it anymore. Everybody's enjoying that failure together, so we're bonding.
We're bonding on that, and then you remember he's making $50 million this year. That just hits you again. You know what I mean? He just wins again. You know what I mean? Like, you guys all think he's suffering. He's on a private jet. You know what I mean? Eating cheesecake and drinking wine with his pinky out. Right? Here's a crazy thing. I tell you how crazy this rivalry is, guys. We talk about stopping the Packers' run game, right? There's a Butkus up there, right? Luke Butkus is the O-line coach. He does their run game for them. He's a former Illini, ILL, and you know, and he played for the Bears here his rookie year. He's actually a Harry Heistand guy. Know him well, but that's how crazy it is, man. It's a Butkus coaching the Packers' run game, and that's what we got to stop this week.
Oh, have a great night tonight. Have a good weekend. I'll see you Sunday morning over at Wonderverse in Oak Brook.
Appreciate it, guys.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.